Hi, my real ones. So before I even go any further, I have a disclaimer. Yes, my outside pon the road. Well, not really pon the road, but outside pon the inns. Okay, let me fix that. I am outside recording this aspect of the episode. The reason for that is because I do not want to procrastinate. I feel the urgency to record this part right now, so may I go do it. Or may I go just sit down and not do it, and we're not gonna have the intro. But yeah, you are about to listen to part two of a two-part program. You're about to listen to part two of our conversation with Daveen Harris. And in the event that you didn't listen to part one and you want enough of yourself comes to part two, please pause and go over to the previous episode, because this, we believe in completeness. Yeah, so go do that. All right, so listen and all the best. I am hoping and I'm praying that this whole series is a blessing to you. And if you're struggling with father wounds, then listen for the end, because you'll hear from our guests where you can, you know, find her and where you can get your help, because it's all about healing. We shouldn't sit down and just accept our wounds. We should treat them. All right. So God bless you and just keep listening.
Struggling the soul, feeling like you're nothing. We got a word and that is a sure thing. Don't believe in fake, activate your faith. We're the real ones and we got you. We got you.
You this thing, because for some people they may be listening and you're like, well, I don't think I have daddy issues, I don't think I have father wounds, because my dad is still around and we talk from time to time. I don't have any extreme, you know, events like that. But I want to know if there are some subtle ways to spot if that is there, especially if you may even feel like, say, your daddy's little girl and everything, all right. Am I at risk of having daddy issues?
You know what? If you're the daughter of a father, you are at risk of having daddy issues. From sitting third into the world, we're all at risk of having any and everything. And that's why when we read the scripture that says, such were some of you, but God.
I thought you were going to say the scripture, provoke not your children to wrath.
Oh, I used to have to quote that one to my father very regular.
Oh God, that
was very regular. My father would laugh at me and hurt me.
Wow.
But let's not go there, because I don't want to make you angry again.
Because I'm gonna go through the healing.
I want you to end on a healing note, and I want everybody to end on a healing note. And even with me saying this, it's because I want to provide healing that all of us were products of Adam and Eve. We're not only born into sin, but we were born into trauma. Every single one of us. I don't care who you love and respect and put upon pedestal, they are a product of trauma, and they would have experienced at least one traumatic incident in their life, at least one. And though they may not admit it, though they may think that they're coping with it, the truth is, as pretty as them look and dress and speak, they have traumatic experiences. And there are some simple things that we wouldn't even think that is traumatic, that actually, when you think about it and look deep into it, it's a very traumatic thing. But to answer your question specifically, am I at risk? of you know, having daddy issues. And you know, it was when I was doing my research and thereafter that I found out the actual meaning of daddy issues.
What I know.
Woman, so daddy issues basically stemmed from the fact that when a father is missing from a girl's life, she would gravitate towards older men.
Ooh.
And if you notice, the other term that comes after that is sugar daddy. So I saw that your poll actually segued into that today, and I was like, how did she even know? But it's a thing where, yeah,
thing.
So yeah, it is a thing. So, and that's why I don't necessarily use the term daddy issues, because people will take offense to it, if, especially if they know what it means, or where the root of it, where it's coming from. So father wounds is, you know, more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, accommodating. But some patterns, and I want to start with probably one of the extreme ones. Check mm-hmm. how you relate to males. Check how you relate to persons of the opposite gender. Do you like them a lot? Or do you hate them a lot?
Wait, hold on. Because we're on two end of the extreme right here, so right?
That's it. Remember, so, I said it earlier. So the spectrum. So
if me like them a lot, me have issues. If me hate them, which me can't understand, me definitely have issues. But back to the first spectrum now. And if me love them, no. Okay, how me find the balance there?
Thank you for using that word, because that's what I want to help you to understand, that when trauma is present in our lives, it means that something in our life is out of balance.
Okay.
And so because we want to be able to have that balance, a mm-hmm. healthy relationship with yourself will first of all help you to determine how you relate to other people, especially men. So for somebody who hates men and can't stand them and think all men are dogs and whatever, when you have a healthy relationship with yourself, you get to understand that the person who hurt you, the one man who hurt you, is not every other man who exists in the world. And you can't blame every other man in the world for the thing that the one man did to you. That wouldn't be a fair thing. So when you come into that realization, then your view of men will change. And then the one who them frog tail cover every man foot.
Davin, just be random.
Such were some of us. You know,
just be random.
When Ruth did go cover boys.
Cover me.
Yeah, when we would go cover boys, yeah, she cover boys alone. But some of us out there cover boys and Moses and Joseph and Benjamin. Right? So those of us who do that, we take the hurt
mm-hmm.
that was experienced, and we put it on the person who hurt us. And consider that the other persons, the other males who exist in the world, would never hurt us.
Wow.
So when male number one hurt us, we say, oh, that's a him. I'm going to go to male number two. Oh, him hurt me. That's a him. I'm going to go to male number three. Oh, that's a him. I'm going to go to male number four. Because we are not having a healthy view of ourselves to see that. Listen here. Hi. You are worth more than having men abuse you and hurt you and use you and all manner of evil against you. So that's the basis, and I could dig deeper into that, but it shows right there, and it's usually a pattern, a cycle of these behaviors. Because see, so what I'm telling you, when I found that out about myself, because this was just strange to me. Mm-hmm. And I should have even started with this story. I remember some years ago, I was working this part-time job here in Canada, and one of my colleagues, he had a girlfriend at the store, at the same store. And he came to me one night and he said, "Davine, how do you I guess he asked the question in the sense of how do you like assess somebody who always has a lot of a female that always have a lot of male friends?"
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who he was asking me about. I didn't think he was asking me about his girlfriend, and I didn't even know anything personally about her to even know. And when he just asked the question generally, I said to him, "Well, what is the person's relationship with their father?"
Wow.
And he said, "Ooh, that's a very good question." And then he later came back to me and confessed he was asking about her, and that her relationship with her father was not good. And I said, "Yeah, I could tell from the question that you asked, not about her, but from the question that you asked, because I didn't know them outside of work, really." So he was like, "Wow, yeah." I'm like, "Yeah, once you realize a girl has unhealthy relationship with guys, you can trace it back to an unhealthy relationship with her father."
Well,
pardon?
I'm saying, I just had an epiphany because not until this conversation, I never really like sat and, you know, thought deeply about my relationship with my own dad, like deep. Like, yeah, he was present and everything like that. But I realized that homegirl really did have daddy issues. I must have did, because I also remember now giving God these traumas. So just to be real, it's kind of like, I remember before I had a poor self-image about myself, and I used to always seek validation from men. And I remember even you and I had a conversation recently when I started realizing that I had people-pleasing tendencies, where my dad and mom, some maybe my mommy issues too.
It's quite possible.
They weren't ones to say, "I am proud of you," right?
Listen, not to cut you, sweetheart, but in a Fimi house, pride is a sin.
Yeah.
I've never been told that. Nowadays, who can stop me? I look myself in the mirror and I said, "David, I'm so proud of you, girl. I'm so proud of you." Sorry.
Go ahead. Get that, man. But I'm not blaming my parents, because I grew to understand that they are coming out of, you know, family households where they never really hear that themselves. So, what I do know is that they would beam with pride and talk about my accomplishment in the face of others, but they wouldn't be ones to articulate and say, "I am proud of you." So I think, going back to earlier when I was like, how do I deal with this? It's like, it's kind of like a learning process for me, because I wasn't used to that. I wasn't used to hearing, "I love you." And so because of that, I know I went into a lot of situationships because I was unnecessary woolly as situationships, because may I try to see that. And it wasn't until I took the deliberate
swim, but me none of ship. Jesus.
I feel like this is something that a lot of church girls face, you know. it's a church girl issue. And it really,
you know, the game was put a finger down.
Yeah. I always like to do that when I'm doing presentations. My finger, I'm always good on still. But then it wasn't until I took the deliberate decision to say, "I love you," to my parents that things changed, right? One time my brother met in an accident, and it was the first time in all my 19 years that I said, I love you. I remember writing, I love you, but me never like uttered it from my mouth. And at first, it was the weirdest thing to say, Daddy, I love you. So so right now, when we end a call, I'm like, I love you. Sometimes he says, I love you too. But then I get annoyed when he says, love you, because I'm like, who you love? And I say, you have to, what's the subject in the sentence? You have to say, I love you. And then he laughs and he says, I love you, right? And I realized that it's since I have been deliberate about these things that my relationship now with guys have changed to the point where I don't need you to tell me that you love me.
But big up yourself.
Yeah, because me know, say, me already I seek it in a healthy space, you get me? But it's just that there are times though where affirmations, so there's a difference between, you know, I love you, and then the affirmations like I am proud of you, where I still struggle with that, right? And sometimes it's hard
because you maybe just need to start telling yourself more, like every single time, like when you're finished talking to me tonight and you say, well, we had a good conversation, say to yourself, Shakira, I'm proud of you.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll do that in Jesus' name. I'll do that. But it's interesting like that, and it wasn't the time until then too that I started to see God as a person to affirm me first, that things, you know, change. Like Davin, I was so desperate for love and male's attention where me end up broke up people relationship.
Sister, if we talk the story, then we're not going to finish. The podcast is going to be part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay? If we start talk the stories, I'm telling you.
I was so desperate.
Such were some of me.
May I reach Pantinda? I try to see. I love you. Oh my, like, and then after that, I realized too that I never... You spoke about, you know, constantly being hurt, right? It reached a point where I developed trust issues. And let me give you a funny story. We're talking about going on to ship and can't sink. Rainbow sink, swim.
Yeah, swim.
Hear this real story. I can't swim right now. I can't. Yeah. I can, but I can't. I can't swim the way that I need to. I've had two instructors, right? And both of them kind of gave up on me. Why? Because they say I have trust issues. And who would have known that trust issues would come
up? That's why we can't swim.
Stuff like that. Like, may I get instruction? He's like, trust me. Like I would say, I need, like, may I tell them what me need? Right?
But if you need, what happened upon me healing journey? I mean, if you go learn to swim. No. You actually opened my eyes, sis. What?
Wow. Yeah, because you have to trust yourself enough to go through the water.
Hey, funny story. So you were asking about like how me in the church for 30 years now. I told you I'm almost 40, but so I got baptized 1 week before my 5th birthday.
What?
Yeah. And about 2 weeks before my baptism. I wasn't forced. I asked for it.
You have to express that part, you know, because that's very important.
Yeah, I wasn't forced. I asked to be baptized, and my mother almost didn't go ahead with it because what happened? 2 weeks before that, or some weeks before that, maybe 2 or 3 weeks before that, I believe, my brother had gotten baptized. And when I saw it, and after the church was done and we were having the car ride home, and he was telling me about his experience, I'm like, listen, I am not going in any water for nobody drown me.
Jesus.
Right, that was my thing. I'm like, no, actually, I didn't say drown. I said I didn't want the water to choke me. That's what I said. I don't want the water to choke me.
Oh my God.
So when I was in the pew, I got the Holy Ghost, was speaking in tongues, almost my shoulder people in church bench, my almost five year old self. And when I realized that I got the Holy Ghost, I went up to my mom and I'm like, I got the Holy Ghost. I need to be baptized, and she's like, no. I said, I need to be baptized. I just got the Holy Ghost. So I had to be the one to actually say to her. And I was a little wussy, you know, like as much as I was a little bit in stature, My mom was very, Jesus helps. So yeah, so that was my thing. Me and water not greet them with it. So my baptism was really a Jesus move, because I was like, nobody's putting me under no water. Feel nothing gonna happen to me. So to this day, and I come from the beautiful water-filled parish of St. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
My current family home is surrounded by about 7 beaches.
Wow.
Swim.
You can't swim.
I can't. So maybe now, thank you, Shakira, for letting me know that it could have been trust issues.
It is. That...
Thank you. I'm going to have to deal with it, though.
You have to. And I believe I have to as well. Like, have to.
Compared to another excuse, or well, not another. I think the excuse that I used was, I'm happy with putting my foot in water. But my hair, like if you know the relationship I had with my hair, this hair is not getting wet. I'm not getting wet to please nobody. So I will go and I will walk in the water till I'm comfortable. But please do not get my head wet, because we're going to have a problem. But not that I don't even care about that. I guess I could go deal with the other part.
I think you should, because it's very... It's very deep. Your relationship with who is telling you what to do. Mm-hmm. Like it was I had 2 male instructors. Mm-hmm. One was a Paralympian. Like him only have one foot. So in my head I'm like, if me a drone, how you for come save me? You just have one foot. But that was very judgmental of me, and he was a Paralympian, like
the man is a
expert in the amount of people. And then the other person, he did a lot, he was a coach, and he said, you know what your problem is? You have trust issues.
Yeah.
That hurt me to the core. I don't think I went back afterwards. That was pride. And I believe that trust issues, it seeped into so many different areas where I just had this guard up.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, I used to say men are trash, though. But then in fixing my relationship with God, I realized, how can I say that God's creation is trash and dog and junkrow? We can't. Mm-hmm. It's just that their attitude, some of them attitude, and not everybody is like that. So I believe that I'm in a healing process. Yeah, I'm definitely in a healing process, and this conversation has allowed me to test how far I've come and how far I need to go. And I give God thanks for that, because I was a mess. Like,
I know that all too well.
I was a mess.
That is my story, and that is my song.
I was a mess, and you know, I was thinking about something earlier too. Where right now I'm in a workspace where I interact with a lot of males. It's male dominated. And mm-hmm. when I first joined the workforce, it's like a lot of older men were gravitated to me. And mm-hmm. my excuse to them were, I could have been your granddaughter. I could have been your daughter. And I realized today, you know, that it's because I was in a healthy space. Because mm-hmm. if not, then going into sugar daddyism,
mm-hmm.
I would have seen them as somebody for just give me things. But mm-hmm. no, I see myself as a sugar baby to God. But
yeah,
am I my sugar daddy? That sounds so wrong. Yet it keeps me. It keeps me. But yeah, this whole conversation has allowed me to see that I did have some issues. I still have some issues where people pleasing is concerned. Because the thing is, sometimes the only way home me and my dad would have certain conversations is when we do something good.
Mm.
Wow. Like there's a milestone.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow. Wow. And I can open up about this where he he had me in his older years, right? And I was upset with that. I know you can't control when your parents have you and how and circumstances, but I acknowledge that I was angry. I was angry to the point where one time, maybe that's why it's so easy for me to say you could be my grandfather to people, or you could be my dad, right? Mm-hmm. Where when I was about 5 or so, my father was carrying me, just like putting me on a taxi to go to school. I don't remember. Mommy told me. And she said that I told him, don't come with me again because you're too old. No. Mm-hmm. Based on that, my father, he didn't come to that was when I was going to primary school. The man didn't come to my primary school graduation. So we're on two different ends of the spectrum, where me tell this man, don't come nowhere with me, and you wanted your dad.
Wow.
This is an unpacking moment.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in high school, when I just started high school, St. Hilda's, he came for my registration. And before he came, he said, he asked me if he could come. So in my head, this mama come ask me if he can come for, right?
He remembered.
But me never remember nothing about that, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe about 5, I just start primary school. You can't stay in primary school, Pitney. So I thought. And then, so he came that time. And throughout high school, it was when I was beginning to process that he doesn't come around as well as he's older than most children's dad and whatever. Mm. But eventually, by the time I reached grade level, I needed my father to be present. At that time, I didn't care how old he was. I'm a father. And by then, I made well, I'm proud of me. You get me? And for my graduation, he asked me if he could come. I mean, I said, what kind of fool question is this man come ask me? Sure, he can come. And I related it to my mother. And she said, that was when I knew about what happened. She said, the reason for that, why he asked you, is because of what you said when you were younger.
Mm.
I felt so bad. Because imagine, this man would have missed. There were times when my mother couldn't have, collected my report, where he could have come. And I had to rely on an aunt, on my aunt or my friend's mother or my cousin. And because of one statement that I made, my father was kind of absent. Mm.
So there's a new kind of absence that I can add to my list of things. Absence of you pushing him away, which I know sometimes will happen. Not saying that's the case for you, but you have single mothers who are going through what they're going through, and in some cases they push the child's father away even when he wants to be present, and so that's the reason why they have now a emotionally absent parent, because of the mother making that decision for them. As you're there speaking, I remember one of my previous co-workers, when I started doing this line of work, she reached out to me and she said, which one do you think is worse, the physically absent father or the emotionally absent father? And I said to her, at the end of the day, they were both absent, and I don't think one is worse than the other, because one, you have to understand each person's experience.
True.
And because it didn't happen to me means that I can say that what you are experiencing or what you have experienced is invalid, and at least he was there and whatever. So while you were there speaking just now about your father, wanting to be there and I guess being pushed away, I could actually say, well, at least he did want to, but for me that would not have invalidated invalidated your experience of the fact that he still wasn't, even though it was your doing right? And at the end of the day, he was the bigger person. So if he might go listen to 15 year, well, I tell him, say, don't show up. And he might go listen to that and don't show up, well, he has to take responsibility for that as well. And not necessarily put all that on you, I'd say. But the reason why I mentioned that is because one of the things I'm learning to do now. So earlier on, I did make mention of the fact that I'm still going through. I'm still the girl in me now, or the current version of me, and is able to relate to the younger version of me who is estranged from her father. And what I try to do is reparent myself, one, by being for myself what I need my father to be to me, even currently, but also when I hear healthy or view healthy relationships, father-daughter relationships, I take pleasure in that. So as I'm listening to you, I want to let you know that I honor the fact that you can at least say you have a working relationship with your father, because that gives me hope. So it's not because I didn't have it, then I'm going to be like, well, no, I didn't have it. It hurts, but Shakira has it. I'm celebrating that. And I want to commend your father for being present in your life. And I pray that he will continue as God gives him the strength to be present in your life. And now that you have language that you can even communicate your needs to him, and that he will, just as how he listened to you to stay away when you were young, you are now asking him to be present, that he would definitely be present, so that you don't have to continue the cycle, because we're all about cycle breaking. You want to ensure the cycle is being broken.
I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. And yeah, it's a working thing right now. You know, he's the only one who really knows my finances. And if you know my finances, that means we're very close. Because, you know, homegirl had trust issues. But like what I've been highlighting, the more I have a better trust with my father, it's the more I am now open to, you know, talking better to males, and not being so guarded, as well as learning how to maintain my boundaries, but not being too open. Because one time I was too open, that it would pick up on the both at the extreme then, brother.
Yeah, that's it. That's what is going to happen. You're going to be on the extremes. And as I said, you need to be able to be in the middle, right there, in the balance.
Yeah. But overall though, in reflecting on my journey with my parents and stuff like that, I just want to put it out there once more that it's for us to acknowledge how we feel, you know, our parents have impacted us, but to also give them grace. I'm not going to say that we're going to use it as an excuse that them never know better, right? No, I'm not going to do that. But in the same breath, acknowledge the pain, but still give grace. It's necessary.
It's very necessary. You've said it so beautifully. You have said it so beautifully. So one of the things I, you know, give away as free game is what I call the ABCs of healing, because at the end of the day, if you have a physical wound, you want to make sure that you're doing all that you can to take care of it. You're not going to, I don't want to even, you know, trouble the church people then, but you're not going to pray it away, because if you chop it on your foot right now and it a bleed, you're going to get up and go to hospital and get somebody to look at it for you. Or if you're here, say you have cancer, you're going to try to figure out how to, yes, you're going to use prayer, but you're also going to figure out what are the physical remedies to take care of it. And the same thing is necessary when you have emotional wounds. You want to apply the ABC method. Once you are aware, once you see the different patterns, you know, how you relate to yourself, how you relate, how you view yourself. Do you have a healthy view of yourself? Do you look in the mirror and talk good to yourself? Do you do that? You know, do you find more complaints than compliments, right? How do you view others? What is your attitude like? Oh, you express your emotions. How are you around people? Do you step on people to get where you want to go? Or do you make people walk all over you because you don't know who you are? Like, how do you relate to yourself? How do you relate to others? And we did talk about how you relate to God. Once you see those things popping up, that's your awareness. What do you do when you become aware of the thing? Do you ignore it and make it fester up and cover it under the rug and it doesn't get a dust and get a dust and get a dust? So no. Now that you are aware, and some of the things that we have spoken about, if you're identifying them in yourself, this ABC is definitely for you. You bring, that's the B. So the awareness is the A. The B is bring it to the person who is qualified to deal with it. Mm-hmm. You have a mentor, a coach, a counselor, a psychotherapist, a psychologist, even a psychiatrist if it's necessary. Whoever is trained to deal with the things that you are suffering from, the wounds, the abuse that you have gone through, the hurt that you have experienced, whoever is trained to deal with it, bring it to them, bring it to their attention. Do not suffer in silence, I beg you. And once you bring it to them, the C is continue on the healing journey. Because I will tell you this, some people will get comfortable thinking, all right, so I have like one session and the person says XYZ and you just drop off of the boat and thinking that, okay, you can swim now when you are setting up yourself for drowning. Mm-hmm. You want to continue on the journey, continue bringing it to the person, continue getting help, continue exposing yourself to the resources that are available to you, continue to speak the language. Because one thing, once you start the journey, your language going change, your perspective going change, like you're going to be a healthier version of yourself, right? So you how you used to speak about certain things, you ain't talking like that no more. How you used to view things, your perspective has definitely shifted. So as the reframing takes place, you want to continue. You're not trying to be a person who, as the Bible terms it, goes back like a dog to the vomit or a pig to their wallow in the mire. No, mm-hmm. you want, you know, the doctor said to you, okay, this is your physical issue. Here is your medication or your meal plan or your practices that you, healthy practice that you need to, you continue doing it. So it's the same kind of thing. Or if you're a person who doesn't know how to steward your finances well and somebody help you or you come out of debt, you're going to have to now continue on the trajectory of making healthy financial decisions. So holistically, you want to be a person once you become aware, because I will tell you this, your father wounds. I remember one time doing a series with another young lady, and when we talked about the issue of money, how father wounds show up in your money, people were so shocked about that. Like, are the two actually related? Yes, they are. If your father was somebody who's stingy with money, you will have an unhealthy view of money and will probably continue in a poverty lifestyle. And if your father was somebody who just everything you ask for, you get, your own business, you just get and you just dish it out, so you probably have an unhealthy relationship with money where you don't steward, you just spend and you're broke and you're, you know? So in every single way, as I tell you, all of us born in sin, shaping in iniquity, and are products of trauma. That is the rest of the verse. I know not in the New Testament, not in the King James Version, it's in our next version, Davine Version. You're born in sin, you're shaping in iniquity, and you're a product of trauma. And so it shows up in your spiritual life, your emotional life, your financial life, your social life, holistically. If you are not dealing with your trauma, you are off balance. And the only way to get on track and to live a balanced life is to face it on headway. Awareness, bring it to the person, and continue on the journey.
Wow. This couldn't have been better said. And I chuckled I chuckled because you were preaching, and I just had like an epiphany remembrance or whatever it is. It is like you bring it together to show me that no matter how much we may think, we're good and whatever, there are times when our father wounds show up in every single aspect. While listening to you, I was even reminded of many of these theorists who are 80s. They didn't have good father. They have father wounds. Many of these theorists, they have father wounds. And that's a part of why they said there is no God. Like, how can there be a loving, forgiving God? And then in thinking about the money, thinking about headship, thinking about even right now, the wound of society where fathering is concerned. Could it be that because Adam was not there with Eve, that was, how it show up, say, that's how the fatherless generation.
So the young lady I was talking about that we did the series together, I remember her presenting it from this perspective that the father in the home is seen as the guard or the keeper, and she related it right back to the absence of Adam in the garden, because
Wow.
were he in place and keeping the home, the serpent would not have gotten
True.
permission or access to his family, because as much as it was just Eve, the definition of Eve by name and nature is that she is a woman who is going to produce. So as much as the family wasn't there yet, but she was the representation of the family, and the family was left alone. Adam was not guarding his family, and with his absence, trauma was birthed.
And then, funny enough, as you say this, it dawns on me that Adam means, first man, right? And that go back to man. Who is the man? God Almighty.
Or that he was husbandman, which means he was
Husband man.
caretaker. He was a caretaker, and because at the time when he was supposed to be taken care, he was absent. Then,
So the first man was absent, and oh God Almighty. All right, we have to call this. We have to call here.
but
But
God,
the second
glory,
Adam.
we thank you, God, but God.
Thank God the story not in here, so.
Listen, that's not how the story ends. But God, the second
But
man,
God.
is very present. The man Jesus
Very
Christ, who
present,
we are
help in the
able to
time of
call
trouble.
Father,
Adoption.
is here.
Wow. I love
He's
this
here.
love story.
Oh, yeah.
I love this love story. I love this love story. Now, the last thing that I want to touch on as we close up is, all right, so before I reach there, so like I said, yesterday I was listening to Joyce May, right? And she said something else that was profound. And after that was just my prayer. She was saying something like she wants to make Jesus more famous. And the fact is, Jesus is already famous, but we need to make him more famous. My thing though is that's my that I feel like that's my life's mission now, to touch all nations by being real while making Jesus more famous. In making Jesus more famous, in making, this whole thing, yeah, famous, I want you to say something to the church where making Jesus more famous is concerned, plus them understanding that in making Jesus famous, it doesn't mean that we should neglect the family. So yes, this is your opportunity to not necessarily bash, but correct, but bash. All right. While making Jesus more
There
famous.
is no bashful nature in me because I weep. You know,
Just be
like how
real. Just
there's
be
a
real.
no, I'm serious. I'm being very real. I mean, I grew up being angry at the church without even knowing that I was angry at the church. And when I became aware of that, I was like, first of all, I mean, I don't have the energy to be angry anymore. I just want to continue to spread awareness. So I don't have the time that I would take to cuss and to be bashful. I would say church. I weep at our state, and I believe that Jesus is weeping as well, because we have made a mockery of in the beginning. We have basically perpetuated what Adam did. We are allowing our Adams to be absent from our families in the name of ministry, not understanding that our first ministry is the family. Before God created the church, he created the family. And there is an order of operation here. There's an order of importance here. And so if I can appeal to any pastor who might take the time to listen to a podcast that is not necessarily being done by another pastor, but by somebody who is a congregant, if you would hear me and hear me well, the heart of the Father is that the family is placed in its rightful place, because when we have healthy families, we certainly will have healthy churches,
True.
healthy communities, healthy countries, healthy continents, and a healthy world. We have to understand that the reason why we're having a sin problem in the world is because one man was missing out of his place. And if, as leaders in the church, we can encourage by example and by teaching our men to return to their rightful places, we can actually help to fix the sin problem. So my appeal to our pastors, or preachers, or deacons, or male evangelists, because I think you have female evangelists, or male elders, you know, have male missionary, all our male leaders, please understand that the Father requires you to serve your home well first before attempting to serve well at church. And because it's written in the book, whether you like it or not, you will be judged by it. So before the judgment day of the Lord comes, I pray that your hearts and your actions will be turned towards establishing your place in your family and establishing your family in its rightful place. Family before church.
Wow. Wow. I love it. And I'm going to wrap that up with the scripture in Timothy, where it talks about the one the I think it was when Paul was writing to Timothy to say that he must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect.
So for the offices of the deacons and the elders, those were the commands that were given
And I think
that
it's transferable because it says, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church?
And also, if you don't take care of your family, the Bible says that you are worse than an infidel. and your prayers will be hindered. So all of you who pray a lot, you need to ensure that you are not in the way of your prayers by the way you neglect your family.
And your wife.
Your family.
Let me just one pick out the part there. I'm nitpicking.
Okay. Yeah. Give priority to your wife and do what Ephesians 5 said to you. Love her as you love your own body, and love her as Christ loved the church. And also give priority to your children, because I know I never touched on this before, but it behoves me now to say it, especially if you are a man in ministry. Your children do not want the ministry version of you at home. They want their father.
Mm-hmm.
So please prioritize your relationship and your time with them, because God forbid, and I'll say this here, in the last few weeks, I have watched the funerals of about three or so men that I knew personally, and I've heard how their children have eulogized them, and I've had to be praying to the Lord and telling him that I do not feel as if I would be in a place to eulogize my dad if he were to take him home, because I believe that my father would be probably more eulogized by his church than by me. But it gives me, I would just say, a deeper understanding of why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I just don't want other young women to continue experiencing this. Like it, when I said it hurts, I mean it hurts to know that your father would have thought that he was doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
By putting church before his family, only to find out in the end. I've been thinking, I said, Lord, and it's my constant prayer, and it's been on my heart in these last couple of weeks. I said, Lord Jesus, I beg you, do not cause my father, like he's very up there, he almost reached the amount of allotted years that the Lord gave him. And I'm like, Lord, no, 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 happen to him. What him have to stay at home. I rely upon nobody to take care of him, because after not having given priority to his family, it would be unfair of him to expect his family to prioritize him and provide care to him. It would be unfair.
Mm.
It more than likely would happen, but it would be unfair. So I said, Lord, bring him to a place where he starts, even in his old age, to prioritize his family, so that should it be that he is going to rely on his family for care in his latter years, then it would be an easier thing to accept. And I've seen where men, and I personally know in ministry, give their lives to the church, and one thing happen, and the same church tear them to pieces. And when I hear these stories, all I can think about is my father. Mr. Jesus, I beg you, do not make my darling father do anything wrong, because them church people here ain't gonna have no mercy on him as much as him give himself to them right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, you wanting to stop the thing before you see it happen to the mm-hmm. person, you know, who is close to you. And I believe that because we live in almost like this bubble of, oh, it's happening to them, it's not affecting it's brother, sister, whoever you are, don't even think yourself too far from it. So what can you do as the person who's listening to this? How can you help? Are you going to share and have these conversations with your youth group? Are you going to have these conversations with your leaders? What are you going to do to ensure that this cycle is not repeating itself? It has to break. Something has to give. And I know when I had set out to write my book, that was really my heart. And I'm like, God, I don't know if I did it justice. And I feel like he's pulling me to actually write something different. And I'm like, Lord, we'll see about that. But I really want the church to understand the importance of the place of the family and the place of the man in the family. And I believe if we have our leaders, because predominantly in our Black church, I don't speak to any other church because I don't belong to any other church, in our Black church, we will see that our leaders are men, as much as there are not a lot of men in the church, but predominantly our leaders are men. And if they use that power that they have to set an example of this is how it's done. I remember quite recently, I went to my current pastor here and I said to him, sir, your leadership and your fathering is so healing to me. That's what I want to see on a regular basis, where our pastors who are fathers can be fathers at home more than they are pastors at church. And I know it sounds like blasphemy, but the Bible supports me on this. So take it up with Jesus and in Bible.
Amen. 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 Selah.
Selah.
Selah. To God be the glory. Great things he writes. Amen.
Yes.
As we're coming up on a close, I want to let you know that I'm sending you virtual hugs.
Oh,
listening
thank you.
To you, it gives me joy, you know, to hear you speak from this place, you know, to hear, you know, the prayers that you have for your dad. I will start praying those prayers for you, agree with you, you know, and I really want to see, you know, things turn around. I don't think that the end of your story is the end where you and your dad is concerned. I have faith that it's gonna turn around. Mega be intentional in praying about that.
I appreciate that, Shakira.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And also in this discussion too, you really gave me insight, you know, as someone who desires to get married, to say, don't look for somebody who is just ministry, but what is his attitude towards being present in our family?
Yeah.
You've really taught me that right now. Because before I was like, ministry, yeah, man, ministry, but presentness is very important. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
Do not want you to be added to the statistics of single married women in the church.
No. That sounds like one discussion, you know? Like one next topic, you know? God almighty.
Go right ahead. You don't have to credit me for it. Just go right ahead.
No, man. May I have it, God willing. We'll have it. And you know the next thing we're going to have? Because in this, we spoke about it briefly on IG, but you brought it up again. And it's something that we want, that I would want for us to even shed light to. I don't think it's a discussion that many of us have, where our parents or leaders or pastors, they go through church hurt, yet they still show for the people then.
I will I think I did send you that.
Yes, you did send me a video. But we started talking about it.
We did. It's so true. And that's the thing for me that I'm like, I'm still on the side of, only if my dad would only look through broader lens to see, listen, sir, you're so human to the point where anything can happen. And I'm telling you, if anything happens, these same people that you would have given your life to, as it were, they ain't gonna be backing you. But it's a thing where you want to honor God, and I will never ever step in the way of my dad wanting to honor God. I will never ever tell him otherwise. So you want to honor God, you want to be there, and just know that people will be people. So no matter how they come and they worship, they will cause hurt and they will cause the distress, and they won't necessarily care about certain things because, you know, by nature, we're selfish people. We think about ourselves. I tell God all the time, I say, Jesus, I mean, no harm sense that you must be. I'm like, Jesus, can you please not give me a ministry-minded man? I don't want a man in a ministry because nobody can call my house at 3 o'clock in the morning. Because when I answer the phone, because we're supposed to be sleeping or worshiping or doing both, if it's possible. So, no. And it's the thing where, you know, you would have people who would quarrel about something like that. Oh, me, Pastor, me can't get him. Well, Pastor has a family.
Yeah, boundaries.
You know, they would have done all these things. And then, you know, they say the meanest things about those who have helped them, or they walk out, or they do all manner of things. Church hurts. It's sound like a little term, but it's one of the most unexplored things, because it's wide and it needs to stop. I have hope that it will stop, because if I don't have hope, I'm going to be miserable. So I have hope that it's going to stop.
I agree. And the thing is, why it hasn't necessarily been dealt with fully is because, for the most part, we just focus on us and how the hurt impacts us, but we don't take the time to, because a lot of us, we say, Pastor hurt me. Have you ever thought about how you hurt Pastor? How you slammed the Pastor name? What? Yeah. Discussion for next time.
Listen, we could go on and on and on. It's a lot, and I always end these things on the note of, it has to get better. As I said before, when you asked me, what did I say to my younger self, which I'm also saying to my current self, it will always be like this. It has to turn around for good. I would not want the generations of 22 generations from now to be saying the same thing that we're saying. Like, it has to get better. We who are now being equipped and being made aware of these things, we have to do better, so that the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren don't have the same stories that we have and the same bitter experiences. It has to, it must. And the only way it can get better is with us doing what needs to be done. And we're not lack knowledge, and we're not lack awareness. We're not lack. We just need to, when we're aware, we do something with the awareness. I don't want to repeat myself, but we can do better. And I promise to do better.
Same here. This episode is me trying to do better. But to God be the glory. Great things must come to an end, but not an end. I believe that though this episode is ending, it will start something new in the lives of everybody who is listening, and start, you know, even a newer flow of clientels. With that said,
y'all need to reach out to me.
Yeah, let us know how.
You need to reach out to me.
Let us know how. How can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at IMDCRH. You can find me on Facebook at Davene Harris. That's DAVENEHARRIS. I am on TikTok, but Lord. No.
All right, find me to the part that we can actually get you.
Just find me on Instagram and Facebook. And if not, find me through Shakira. She knows how to get through to me.
Definitely. And what are some of the services? So they said that they want to message you, right? What are the services like?
I offer one-on-one coaching, and I offer a healing course, a healing our wounds course. It's a 10-week course that basically has you going through theoretical and practical ways of healing your father wounds. So those are the main things that I offer right now. And I have some other things in the works, but
that's open to people outside of Canada.
Yes, I am able to provide my services to people outside of Canada through coaching.
Love it. Any final words?
It is the will of the Father that you are well. That's one of the quotes that I have been resonating with since one of my mentors has said it to me and a group of people for the last few years, and I want to reiterate it. It is the will of the Father that you are well. And as 3 John 2 declares, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers.
Thank you so much, Davine. Thank you. This was so therapeutic and enlightening. Thank you. And I look forward to our next collab, God willing. So thanks.
Lord bless you, my darling.
Lord bless you. So if you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode / series of the Father Wounds series. All right, let me do that again. Sorry.
Go right ahead today.
All right. If you are hearing this message, you've blah blah blah. Girl, get it. If you're hearing this message, that means that you've listened to the entire series. And for that, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We hope you've enjoyed this series. And if you did, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please share this episode with others who may be interested in this topic. God bless you, and listen for my sheep.